Matthew chapter 14. Years ago, as I prayed about starting a series of messages covering the recorded prayers in the Bible, after researching for a while, I realized that there are 222 recorded prayers in the Bible. So now, when I ask you a quiz afterwards, say, how many recorded prayers are there in the Bible? You'll know 222. There we go. If I were to prepare a message for each of those prayers, that series would take me 222 Wednesday evenings to preach. It's not going to happen, okay? It would be 4 years and 3 months to complete that series. I'm pretty sure that's not going to happen. However, what the Lord has indicated to me this week is that I should bring a series on a small sampling of these recorded prayers in the Bible. So before I do that, notice some interesting facts about some of these recorded prayers. Nehemiah chapter 9, verses 5 through 38 is the longest recorded prayer, 33 verses. But we assume it was a shared prayer in that a number of Levites are listed as praying this long prayer. There really are only two possibilities here. Number one, they prayed it simultaneously, which would require an actual miracle, and this does not fit the characteristics of miracles recorded in the Bible. Or number two, these men took turns praying a sentence or two at a time, probably without a break, as the Spirit moved each one. That's the one I'm voting for. Okay. 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verses 14 through 42 is the second longest prayer. But it is the longest prayer uttered by a single individual, 28 verses long. At the opposite end of the spectrum, Matthew chapter 14, verse 30, records the shortest prayer, just three words, Lord, save me. I'm pretty sure it was shouted, okay? Luke 17, verse 5, records the second shortest, which was four words, Lord, increase our faith. And Mark chapter 9, verse 24, records the third shortest prayer. Six words in the New American Standard Bible, I do believe, help my unbelief. And it's seven words in the King James Version, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. So let's begin our series then by examining the very shortest prayer in the Bible, beginning this evening with Matthew chapter 14, verse 30. So would If you're not already there at Matthew 14, would you turn there with me? Although verse 30 records the shortest prayer, we do need to get the whole context by reading verses 22 through 33. So would you follow along in your Bible as I read aloud for us Matthew 14, verses 22 through 33. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side, while he sent the crowds away. After he had sent the crowds away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray, and when it was evening, he was there alone. But the boat was already a long distance from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter said to him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me!" Immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind stopped, and those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "You are certainly God's Son." Let's consider the events surrounding this prayer. Remember, this is the shortest prayer in the Bible. Just three words. Lord, save me. So this is the shortest prayer. We're going to consider that this evening. This is Matthew chapter 14, and we just read verses 22 through verse 33, and we're focusing on verse 30, where the shortest prayer in the Bible is located. So immediately preceding this passage is a record of Jesus miraculously feeding 5,000 men with a boy's lunch of five loaves. Actually, these were more like rolls. They weren't like big loaves, you know, that we have in the grocery store today. They were more like croissant or something along that line. And two fish, so five rolls and two fish. Peter had a front row seat to this amazing miracle that demonstrated Jesus' power. No wonder Jesus said to him in verse 31, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" Notice as well that the disciples had been trying to reach the opposite shore for most of the night, and their boat was being battered by waves driven by a contrary wind. This tells us several things. Number one, the disciples were tired out from battling the wind and waves. Number two, they had been doing all this in the dark. The fourth watch of the night, in the Hebrew way of reckoning, was somewhere between 3 o'clock and 6 o'clock in the morning. So that's pretty dark. And darkness is usually depressing. Anybody find that? Okay. Do you notice that in the winter time up here in the north, that you have more people depressed in the short days that we have? Okay, so darkness isn't fun, okay? And number three, they didn't have Jesus' physical presence with them, so they were like sheep without a shepherd. Now, they saw someone walking on the water and immediately assumed they were seeing a ghost. Sailors have always been highly superstitious, and seeing a ghost would be a bad omen of impending disaster. It's no wonder they were afraid. When they discovered it was Jesus, they were overwhelmed with relief and joy. Now that we understand the background to this, let's consider next the immediate context of this passage. Peter asked Jesus to command him to come to him on the water. This tells us that Peter's faith had grown to the point that he knew he could walk on water if Jesus commanded it. When Jesus responded with the command to come, Peter's faith carried him over the side of the boat into the water. And that simple one-word command from Jesus was sufficient to enable Peter to walk on top of the water. Is it because it gave Peter the courage to do it and the ability to do it? Or is it because God worked a miracle? God worked a miracle. So the water was as solid as a grassy lawn. When Peter took his eyes and dependence off Jesus and started to look at the waves and his own inadequacy, you can imagine him saying, "I can't do this. This is what? You know, what am I doing out here in the water?" Okay. Then he started to sink as soon as he took his eyes off Jesus and off his dependence on Jesus. From what we read elsewhere in the Gospels, we can deduce that Peter probably knew how to swim. However, keep in mind that there were pretty heavy waves happening here in this storm. Have you ever seen a storm like on TV? Okay, when you see huge waves of 3 meters or worse, and they're about to, you know, come over a ship and sweep you off. Okay, well, those are the kind of waves that Peter was experiencing here. He knew that he did not have the ability to stay afloat in this kind of sea condition without help. As a result, he started to sink into the water. Now that we understand the immediate context, let's consider Peter's three-word prayer. It is the shortest prayer ever recorded in Scripture. Verse 30, you see there in your Bibles, verse 30, "Lord, save me." Since we see that the Lord answered his cry for help, we can conclude that the length of our prayers is not a factor in God's willingness to hear and answer. Can anybody tell me another verse that tells us that God is not interested in long prayers? Doesn't require long prayers to get through to him. Can you quote part of the verse?
Remember me? Remember me?
Yeah, just get as close as you can.
I'm thinking of the thief on the cross. Remember me.
When you come into your kingdom.
When you come into
your
kingdom, yes.
Okay. No, but there's something where it actually says, and I think, Sheku, are you saying something there on Zoom here?
Yeah, when you pray, do not do as the heathen do. Yeah.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm looking for, Sheku. Very good. Don't be like the heathen who think for their many words that somehow they'll get through to God. And the Bible talks about vain repetitions, empty repetitions, repeating the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. Okay? God is not interested in that. What he's interested in is, are you communicating with him? Your desires, your wishes, your love, whatever it is, okay, that's what God is interested in. He will respond even to a three-word prayer, Lord, save. Wow. It may very well also be the fastest answered prayer recorded in Scripture. You know, sometimes when you pray and ask God for something, there's a kind of a delay before the answer comes, right? Well, this is probably the fastest answered prayer recorded in Scripture. Notice that verse 31 tells us that immediately, everybody see the word there? Immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him. Probably as soon as he said, Lord, save me, you know, Lord Jesus grabbed him, okay? Notice some things about this three-word prayer. Peter knew that only the Lord could help him. That's why he directed his cry toward him rather than appealing to his fellow disciples for help. You know, he didn't say, James, John, anybody, you know, really. No, he directed to the Lord Jesus. He knew that only he could help. Lord, save me, he said. Now, this shows us that although Peter's faith was too little or too weak to keep trusting Jesus to enable him to walk on water, and that's what Jesus rebuked him for, his faith was sufficient to trust his Lord's love and care for him. It enabled him to cry out to Jesus to save him from drowning. Why? Because he knew that Jesus loved him. This is why even that little child's song, Jesus loves me, this I know. That is deep theologically. Think about it. That is deep theologically. And it's a child's song. How does this prayer of Peter's apply to you? You're thinking, well, that happened, you know, 2,000 years ago, and what does that have to do with me today? Well, first of all, rejoice that God's answer does not depend on the length of your prayers. Aren't you glad for that? God is not checking, okay, well, that's 10 words, that's pretty good, I need 20 more. No, God doesn't do that. He's just listening to your heart. So rejoice that God's answer does not depend on the length of your prayer. Secondly, rejoice that God knows what is on your heart and hears your prayer even if you can't express your prayer perfectly. I remember going over to Église Baptiste Centrale years ago, and it was their prayer meeting, and of course everybody was praying, and I thought, well, it's a French-speaking church, I better do this in French, and I was still en train d'apprendre le français, you know, I was still in the process of learning French, and so I tried to pray. Boy, I must have sounded like, I don't know, a two-year-old, I don't know. A two-year-old probably was way better than me, more fluent. But, you know, I knew that God was still listening. Why? He knew my heart. He knew what I was trying to express. And so I don't worry about whether it's good grammar or not. but I know that God knows what I am thinking. In Romans chapter 8, verse 26, we read this: in the same way, the Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep. Words. That tells me the Holy Spirit. Man, if you think I'm having a hard time speaking because when my heart's full, my eyes leak. But can you imagine the Holy Spirit? He's groaning to God the Father. Wow. Thirdly, rejoice that God's answer to your prayer will be as quick as it needs to be. God knows best, and his timing is perfect. When the answer needs to be immediate, like Peter's prayer, you know, Lord, save me, you know, that was how quick it answered. It needed to be that quick. When the answer needs to be immediate, God will answer immediately. However, keep in mind the flip side of that coin, that when the answer does not need to be immediate, God may delay in order to help your faith to grow. May the Lord cause these principles on prayer to change our thinking and draw us closer to our wonderful Lord and Savior, and may it stir up our hearts to pray fervently and often. Next Wednesday, Lord willing, we'll learn some lessons from the second shortest prayer. All right.